I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 138 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at, all together now, sitevisibility.com. Hello Kelvin.
Hello Andy, and hello every listener out there.
Whatever you might be doing. And today we've got, it's News and Tools.
Yes.
And we've got a bit of, so going to start off with a bit of a request from the listeners, aren't we?
Yeah. So basically, what I'm really interested, you know, one of the sad things about podcasting as a means of kind of communicating with your listeners is it's difficult for that two-way conversation to come up. So I wanted to ask a favour of a few of you. And that was just kind of to reach out and ask for some people to get in touch if they had a particular situation. So I'll set the scene a bit, really. The podcast has been going for 5 years now.
Is it really? And it's hard to believe,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we're interested in kind of putting together a bit of a kind of story about the podcast, how it's grown and all that kind of thing. And we're interested to hear from people who the podcast has been a big influence on their career, or setting up a company, or going solo, or whatever it is. And I've spoken to a few people informally over the years and emails who have said that they've, you know, that we've played a small part in them launching their own marketing company, or getting a big promotion in their company that they were working for, or all kinds of different areas, really. So real quick request, really, if you're one of those people that the listening to this podcast has had an impact on your business or your career, we would love to hear from you, potentially for some PR and press stuff that we're doing. So if that does sound a bit like you, could you drop me an email? It's the same email as we always use, and that's the same email if anyone's got any questions about the podcast. So that's Kelvin, so kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. And it, of course, that's the same email address that we mention at the end of every show. So if you're in the middle of driving at the moment, it'll be mentioned again at the end, where hopefully you might be your destination by then. So yeah, that was a quick thing, really.
Yeah, this could be really interesting, actually, because as you said, we've received anecdotal evidence, but nothing sort of hard and fast. And I don't think there's much research really on podcasting. There's not many figures out there in terms of impact it has on people, so this could be quite interesting. So please do, you know, just drop us a single line saying, yeah, Yes I started a business, or I did this because of the podcast. Yeah.
And I love to hear a good story as well, so all good on that front as well. So yeah, moving on to some of the more newsy items that I wanted to talk about. No doubt many of you who are interested in the world of Facebook marketing will have been paying close attention to their event that they had recently, their F8 conference, where they announced and released a whole slew, I think that's how you say it, slew?
It's
a slew of new features and functionality. The most obvious and dramatic of those probably being around their timeline functionality and their ticker. Now, if you're not a big Facebook user, you might not have come across these yet, but the one that's rolled out to everyone immediately is the ticker. So essentially, in the top right hand corner of your screen, you've got a live scrolling update of things that you or your contacts are currently doing, and this is interesting because it it kind of circumvents the EdgeRank algorithm that we talked about recently, that kind of decides what appears in your main newsfeed, and that's all about what's most important as well as most timely, whereas the ticker is just what happened that second that someone else did.
Calvin, is this there now? Because I can't see it on mine.
The ticker's there for most people now.
Right. I'm just think, special, am I? That's why I haven't got one.
I don't know. I'm not aware of having ever opted into this one. Whereas to get the timeline, that's a you have to do a bit of jiggery pokery at the moment to get that to appear. That's not rolled out for everyone as yet. But the ticker I thought had for everyone, but I will have a look at yours, Andy, afterwards to see if it's something that I think maybe if you've removed some of the settings and pared it down previously, it might not have appeared if you've removed chat boxes and the like. But essentially, so yeah, what that doing is, does is scrolling in the corner. Now, that's interesting for a couple of reasons. One is it kind of gives you an opportunity to appear on your friends, you know, connections more frequently. But also, there's at the same time, there were other features rolled out. The most notable of those in my newsfeed is, and my Facebook account, is that now they've done a deal with Spotify. So I can see every time I play a song on Spotify, it will appear on the ticker. So Kelvin's listening to song X, song Y, and vice versa. For,
it's almost like a live stream, like a Twitter live stream.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, and that's kind of very much what they're trying to do there. So that's interesting for brands for a couple of reasons. One is that it kind of emphasizes the need for constant things to be happening or constant interaction to be happening with your content, which, you know, is a general pattern that we've seen anyway, but it probably pushes more towards that. Have you got a 24 hours a day strategy for your Facebook, you know, campaign, which is quite interesting as well. Now, the one that's obvious and, you know, that's interesting, but the one that's probably got the most coverage, despite the ticker probably being the bigger of the two updates, is the whole idea of your Facebook timeline, which to all extents and purposes is replacing your profile page. Now, what that now does is there's a visual change to it. So you can have one big timeline picture, which is different to your profile picture. So you actually have two pictures there. So that's another one to be playing about where you can change what your picture is. But actually what's most interesting is effectively all there on one page is everything you've ever done on Facebook. So I can go back to 1999, well, that would be too early, but, you know, if I could go back to 2007 and look at what I was doing, you know, what status updates I was making in 2007 and what photos I uploaded at that point in time. And it's kind of, you can, as an individual, you should be looking at what your timeline looks like. You know, it's there's a lot of detail there, you know, that you've shared previously that you thought might have kind of hidden away. It was still there on Facebook, but this has brought it a little bit more to the front and center. So that can be quite embarrassing. You know, what you did, what your status updates or photos you put up 2 or 3 years ago is now very visible to your current contacts in a way that perhaps it wasn't quite so visible previously. So
it's interesting, though, Kelvin, because, you know, some people say don't use Facebook for business and some people do, don't they?
I think it's just, yeah, you've got to be, you, as a company needs a company, you know, a profile. But it gets a bit more ambiguous if as an individual. So kind of as a freelancer where you're selling your time or as a kind of professional advocate, you know, like a bit like we do ourselves here. And it is a bit tricky. And I use the distinction, and I think I've probably mentioned this in the show previously, that on Facebook, I only really accept the friend requests and request friendships with people who I could envisage if I bumped into them, I would go for a beer with them if we had the time. You know, the type of person that I could imagine having a half-hour conversation with rather than just a, oh, hello, how you doing? Yeah, and that's about the extent of your conversation.
Or strange women from Russia.
Yeah, or strange women from Russia. Yeah, I tend to avoid them wherever
possible. I should stop friending those, should
I? Yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay,
But they seem to be very friendly, don't they? That's the problem.
Mm. If they are indeed women.
Or indeed human is the other aspect of it as well. Whereas Twitter, I'm a lot more kind of, I just follow anyone who I think's interesting, but might not necessarily know. Now, that's my approach, and different people will have different approaches to how they view that. But that's kind of how I've gone about it on Facebook. But big changes afoot there. It's changing where the ads appear. It's a changing the opportunities for content you create on Facebook to appear on, you know, on the feeds and on the home screens of of potential customers of yours. So quite a lot there. A lot of people still trying to suss out what it means. But early doors, the ticker seems to reward interactive content that's being interacted with a lot. So, you know, if you're a brand and someone likes your state, likes a photo you've created, that's going to then potentially appear in the ticker of all of their friends. So therefore, you should be thinking about, well, how can you get that interaction to be happening more frequently? Because it'll appear in the main news feed, but also in the ticker as well.
Calvin, talking of Facebook, have you heard of Project Spartan?
I haven't, no. What's the Project Spartan?
I'm not sure if I should be telling it. It's on TechCrunch, so okay. It's not a secret. They're trying to take Apple on their own turf. So they're basically going to be creating, I'm not sure if it's one or a series of, now this is it, we must do a show on this, HTML5/ JavaScript apps.
Okay.
So these little websites that behave very much like apps, but yeah. You don't have to go through the Apple iStore.
Yeah.
And I think they're looking to produce either one or a series of those.
Oh, should be interesting, yeah. I mean, I think that there's definitely this, and I think probably a worthy topic, I'll make a note of it, so that we ought to be doing about, you know, apps versus mobile websites.
As he frantically writes in his notepad.
Yeah.
And then lastly, is it time to talk about the new iPad killer?
Yes, well, yeah, I mean, I think every day of the week there is a new iPad killer, but I think this one, I don't think genuinely is an iPad killer, but I think is probably more likely to be one of the most successful tablets other than the iPad. And this is the Kindle Fire. So this is the new...
Now, you say, is this like the latest incarnation of the Kindle, or has it gone off on a separate branch of development?
It's very different to the previous Kindles, in that it is a colour screen, and I think it's also a touch screen as well. But I think what's most interesting about it is the way that it... Most people who have tried to take on Apple's iPad have just tried to be a slightly better iPad. Which I don't think really is the most appropriate approach, because basically it seemed to be all of their marketing was, hey, we can do everything the iPad can do, we're about the same price, but we can play Flash. And like that just didn't really seem like a real reason not to buy the market leader, as it were. Whereas the Kindle Fire is actually a bit different. It's kind of pared down. It can't do everything that an iPad can do. But what it is intended to be is a media consumption device. So in the same way that it's so simple to buy a book on a Kindle, they're trying to do the same with video and audio content as well.
Okay, so basically it's still a book reader, but they've expanded it to a general media consumption device.
Yeah.
That's going to go down.
And what I think is particularly compelling about Amazon's offering, as opposed to any of the Android options, is that Amazon have the marketplace already. They have the infrastructure, and they've already got your credit card details. Yeah. Now, I've got a Kindle. I've not had it a huge amount of time because I was reading books on my iPad mostly. But now that I've actually got the Kindle in my hands, as it were, it's so easy to buy a new book. Like, there's so little friction there. And I think that's actually the way it's going to work. And as I understand it, Amazon aren't making any money on each time they sell a Kindle Fire. Is a loss leader.
Oh, really?
Because the loss leader is to get you to buy into their system. So it's almost like the games consoles quite often. Their business model is that they lose $100 on, you know, when you buy a PS3. But they make money on the licensing of the games, as it were.
Okay. So now, this is the 100 million, billion, quintillion dollar question. Yeah. What are the implications for internet marketers of this new device?
Well, I think it's just the fact that it's more to do with the media complex than the marketing complex, that I don't think people are going to be using Kindles in the same way they would iPads. But if it does take off, if more people use tablets, that has huge ramifications for how you put together a website. And I think that's where the implications are, is if already a significant chunk of most of our clients' websites' traffic is coming from mobile and tablet devices, the more affordable, more popular tablets become, the greater that share of market's going to be. And truth be told, most websites are a pretty poor user experience on a mobile or tablet. It seems to be that you've got two options. You've either got your website just as is on those devices and it scales down.
Yes.
You know, on some websites, that's not the end of the world. Or other people have kind of got mobile themes. Now, you can get these, like, there's one called like WP Touch for WordPress.
Yes,
that
yes.
Strips out everything, and they're a good idea in principle, that it kind of makes the site more functional, which is good. I think people should do that. They should be thinking about how their website works on a mobile device. But every website looks the same. There's no personality to it. There's no, you know, they could be on any website reading your content, which, of course, you know, has huge implications for branding if 20% of your traffic can't see your logo when they visit your website. So that's where I think the implication will be, is that this, I think, has the potential to be a very big new web and media consumption device, which potentially is going to make ever more important the need to make sure that your content works well on a multitude of devices at a multitude of screen resolutions.
Yeah, we must do a show on HTML5. Definitely.
Yes, very much.
Make a note of that, Kelvin.
And I just, a couple of final things before we finish off. In the process of kind of talking about Kindles, I thought I might as well, I ought to recommend a couple of books that I've been reading. Well, not that I've read recently, but I think that top of my list of books you should be reading, because I know people like that. So I just finished on the Kindle a book called The Upsides to Irrationality by Dan Ariely.
Upsides to Irrationality.
Which is a sequel to a book called Predictably Irrational. And it would make sense, if you've not read Predictably Irrational, to read that one first. And we've got a future show coming up on this about kind of behavioural economics and how our mind plays tricks on ourselves. But really, really interesting book there about that. And the other ones are kind of connected to that as well. There's another book called Nudge that I recommend reading, which is all about kind of how choice architecture and how you present decisions affect their influence. So, for example, when you're putting together your basket page, your shopping checkout page of your website, the choices you make in constructing that will have a huge impact on how that page performs, and kind of making things default options or not making them default options or changing the sequence of questions can have quite a big impact. So they're not kind of digital marketing books, both of those, but all three of them. So Predictably Irrational's, Upside to Irrationality, and Nudge. But I think there's lots of takeaways that a digital marketer could have from that as well. And if all of these are kind of, you've never really kind of had any introduction to economics at all, they might be, they're not too full on, they're popular science books, they're kind of written for the layman, but they might be a bit in at the deep end. There's a great one to start with, a book called Freakonomics, which has been around for years and years and years. And they do an amazing podcast as well. The first podcast I listen to when I look into iTunes is the Freakonomics one.
I've heard of Freakonomics.
Yes. Yeah. So basically, yeah, it's kind of about how actually some of the things we think about, the connections between things aren't what they first appear to be. So, for example, they make connections between actually the reduction in crime rate in the 90s in New York wasn't to do with zero tolerance. It was to do with a variety of other implications, and things like actually child safety seats, the basic safety standard for passing that, not having a car child seat would pass that safety standard. Do you see what I mean? So they tested the invisible car seat that didn't exist, and it still
the
passed the safety. So yeah, just, you know, they're different from a lot of the internet marketing books that you look at, which is a kind of here's how you do a Facebook campaign, which I think most of us, you know, those books can be helpful, but actually I find myself reading them going, yep, that's obvious, and I'd probably only take away a couple of bits from a book. Whereas these are something completely different, but they make me think about things in a different way that help me do my job a little bit better.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's a wrap, isn't it, Kelvin?
Yeah.
He's bursting to tell us something.
One final thing. Now, we mentioned this a couple of episodes ago, that we were making the premium podcast free. So you can access the premium podcast content for free, the archive of 150 screencasts that we did, by joining the Site Visibility LinkedIn group. So it's absolutely free. All you got to do is join the LinkedIn group.
Excellent.
And it's also very useful in there as well, because we've got about 300 or 400 members already, which I was kind of really chuffed by. And what's happening is a lot of the listeners of the podcast are asking questions. I'm answering them where I can. Other members of the Site Visibility team are answering them where they can. But also people are helping each other out, which I think is, you know, a really nice thing, because I know there's some really, really knowledgeable people in lots of different areas who listen to this podcast. And if they can help other listeners out, that's fantastic. So yeah, there'll be a link to that, but it's the Site Visibility group on LinkedIn.
And a quick reminder, please, listeners, both of you, do write in and tell us if the podcast has influenced your decision to start a business or do something pretty cool. And just quickly, Kelvin, what's coming up in the next show?
Next show, we are going to be talking about advice on getting more speaking opportunities.
Ah. there you go, the power of speaking. Well, that's it from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Kelvin Newman.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Bye. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.